Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Lumpen Kulturati podcast. Today's episode, I have Vincent Serrano, and we're going to be talking about New Order. We're in the open air. You will hear tricycles and vehicles and whatever. We're out front. What's this church called?
Church of the Jesuit.
All right. Church of the Jesuit on the Ateneo campus. So, kind of different recording conditions. But then, so far, we've been recording in so many places anyway. So, it's all good. But we get to... I have Vince on, and Vince is an award-winning poet, and then he's cringing now. Also, he has Doctor plastered on his name at his office door, also still cringing. But one of the things is that I know that Vince is incredibly erudite and intellectual, but...
cringing some more.
Yeah, cringing some more, but we have found much common ground in music, right? Because Vince and I have jammed together in a band. I don't know if I say the band name, this episode might go explicit.
Okay.
But so one of the bands that we have bonded over is New Order, and our love for the songs of New Order and the way that they compose their songs, right? So, hi Vince.
Hi. Thanks for having me over.
Okay. So. Why New Order? What was that first song that got you into it?
Temptation. Uh-huh. From Substance 1987.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why? What were you listening to at the time? Did you hear it in 1987, or was it you heard it a bit later on?
Roundabout in 1987.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, NU107, when you're still playing New Wave, alternative rock.
Rest in peace, yeah. NU. Yep, when you guys are so awesome. Yeah.
There. And then I liked it so much, and I bought the cassette, the double cassette. Yeah. One of the first things I bought.
So this was one of the first albums, one of the most influential. How old were you?
High school, third year, second year.
Yeah, because they have this theory that whatever you love when you're 14 to 18, 14 to 17, this will define your musical taste forever.
Sort of, yeah. Or it sets the, how do you say it, sets the tone.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, sets the background for the rest of your musical tastes.
So, what about Temptation drew you in?
It seemed so expansive. It seemed so... it seemed to sprawl out for like 5 or 7
That's
minutes.
Six something minutes.
But then it only had like a few chords. So what kind of like fascinated me was how this band can have so few chord changes and yet still be atmospheric, still very emotional.
Yeah.
Right. So the lyrics were very simple. Okay.
They
so it was like a song of lost love, I think Bernard Sumner says.
Yeah.
In one of his like concert intros.
Yeah, it's interesting because for some reason, right? I mean, New Order, you hear it and there's a real simplicity to it.
Yes, yeah.
A few chord changes, a few movements in songs. Mm-hmm. The audio kind of just loops. I mean, the rhythms just loop.
Yeah.
And yet they can pull out a song from those really simple.
Yeah, they can stretch it. It doesn't sound boring. It doesn't sound simplistic at all. And even though the musicianship isn't like, you know... Isn't like... how do you say that? It isn't so... top, excellent, or something like that. It isn't virtuoso. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, they seem to have captured the mood.
Yeah, you know, I mean... Yeah. In the time period, 1987, in a time period when guitar solos were...
Mm-hmm.
You know, were massive in American music,
yeah.
You had... New Order essentially doing away with the guitar solo in most of their songs.
Yeah, which was replaced by bass.
Yeah.
So
you had these guitar fills, and then you had the bass doing
melodies.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then like repetitive drum loops.
Yes.
Especially the dance phase New Order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very dancey, and for the. I'm sure that all listeners who are familiar with New Order know, but for those who aren't, right? New Order is what was left of Joy Division.
Yeah, yeah.
And Joy Division had that kind of very dancey vibe to it, but it wasn't as pop dance as New Order.
It had a dark kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
Dark, dancey. Not danceable as much as epileptic, I don't know.
Yeah.
They had that really weird syncopations, like really weird... bass lines, melodic bass lines,
Because I imagine, like, if it's New Order, if it's Joy Division, you're jumping to it in a pit.
Yeah.
Right? But if it's New Order, you can play it in a club.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you can play it in a club, you can dance to it, you can sing along with it. And then, there's still some affect to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's lots of affect to it.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because I mean, with the lyrics are far from what we might consider poetry. Mm-hmm. And again, that simplicity to it, and yet it has meaning. It conveys a lot. How do you think it does that, or how does it accomplish these things? We were talking about these lyrics. I would like to play so I
could call my own, have a conversation on the telephone. It seems so very plaintive.
Yeah.
It seems so direct. I think it's a directness. Yeah.
Yeah. And just
wake up every day, it would be a start. Yeah.
And I will not complain about my wounded heart. Mm-hmm. And you have these really kind of, like, if these were submitted to us in a creative writing class, we would think that these are really cheesy rhyming couplets.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, it's, but then like they do something with the lyrics, they do something with the music, they do something with the drum fills, they do something with the guitars.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes it seem to like rise above everything else.
Yeah, it's, and even say with those guitars, and there's so much that you can do with a guitar, mm-hmm. right? And yet the clear stylistic choice of the guitar playing is it's jangly.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's droning. It's just you just keep getting the same chord over and over with maybe a few tweaks or a few mm-hmm. inflections, but it's generally just the same thing over and over. And it amazes me that they can do again so much with so little.
Right. Yeah.
So it's this confluence of mm-hmm. of music and lyric, and I mean, I've thrown away a lot of music because the lyrics were not up to par, and yet I can't bear to part with, say, New Order.
Yeah, yeah. How about you? What was your first, like, you know?
My introduction
experience of New Order.
To New Order was Regret, and I saw it on, I saw the video on MTV.
Okay.
And it was part of this whole kind of early 90s alternative Britpop. I remember distinctly seeing premiere on Alternative Nation. So in my mind, like, New Order was an alternative band. I didn't realize that they were, you know, a new wave band, and they had this great history that stretched back. And it was much later when I started getting into the earlier stuff.
Like, right. Yeah.
You know, the Temptations, because if you were to go by, say, just MTV.
Yeah.
What you get is, in the time, what you got was Regret, and then you got Blue Monday.
Right. Okay.
And that was it. And then you get these
Bizarre Love Triangle
covers.
Yeah, yeah.
Bizarre Love Triangle eventually. And I didn't make the connection between Bizarre Love Triangle and Regret until much later, because they sound so different from each other.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear that that Regret is a period of its time, mm-hmm. but within the oeuvre of New Order, it is distinctly New Order.
Yeah. I think they're trying to like go back to the rock phase, like guitar heavy,
mm-hmm.
not as atmospheric as the ones with synthesizers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've kept the beat, you know, it's still very propulsive.
But it's that like
Right.
I'm being reduced to like making sounds with my mouth because I can't.
We can't really quite encapsulate.
You can't articulate what they're doing, because I know we've talked about how the drum sound is so different from say Joy Division to New Order, and how it is again so in New Order it's kind of crashing.
Yep. Yeah.
These very aggressive drums.
Yep. Yeah. Very propulsive, and you know, with at least with some New Order songs and some Joy Division songs, very angular. It's like it's hitting you from the side like that.
Yeah.
Some sort of like angle, and it's like wow, and yet at the same time it fits.
And one of the things I like to, I'm thinking about now is that when you get the Joy Division, this was clearly a band that was artistically superior to their peers.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In the time period that they were coming out, you knew that this. Oh, and then that. There's like a bell going.
Yep. Sure. There's a bell going.
But you could hear that they were on track and doing something incredibly new.
Mm-hmm.
Right. With the music that they were doing, and then they lose their frontman Ian Curtis.
Yeah.
And you assume that when you lose the frontman of a visionary band, this band will fall apart and they're gone and that's it. Because, the closest I can think of is, say, like Kurt Cobain and Nirvana.
Or Jimi Hendrix.
Hendrix.
Yeah, but they fell apart.
Although now I'm thinking Pearl Jam and Mother Love Bone.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
Or that. But here, they didn't add on a new frontman. Yeah. They didn't add on. They just
From what I read, I think they had some rehearsals where everyone took turns like singing, and then Bernard actually got the job. because it was easier to play guitar and sing at the same time.
Yeah, I can't imagine playing those bass lines and singing.
I have a hard
enough time playing the simple bass lines and singing.
Period. Yeah, I think what they got was the edginess, the angularity of punk, but then they put in some sort of like what? Thatcher vibe, the economic depression of the late 1970s.
Yeah. I mean, thematically, but what intrigues me is the commercial success that they get after their frontman is gone.
Right, the eve of their North American tour.
Right? So you lose the Joy Division, they become New Order, and I think now, you know, people know some Joy Division songs.
Right,
because of the resurgence and so you have the
Love Will Tear Us Apart
again as part of this whole thing. Now. In the same way that people now know the Smiths again.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Love Will Tear Us Apart again. But New Order, everybody knows New Order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, even if it's karaoke, they will recognize the New Order song. They will do. And I think that's...
I wonder what that causes that. Accessibility? The lyrics? Yeah, you don't need to think that much. In terms of the lyrics, and then the melodies are very catchy.
Yeah, I want to ask. Yeah. I mean, is it? I don't know if it's selling out, because I mean that's what we would say now. It's like, oh, this band, they were like critically important, and now they're just making pop songs.
Right. Yeah.
But we get New Order making superior pop songs, and we don't feel that they've sold out anymore.
No, I think they've kept the integrity. I think in the early days they listened to a lot of dance music.
Yeah.
Ibiza. They went to New York.
Okay.
Yeah, they went to New York, and then they absorbed the electro-Italian, like, electronic music that was going on. So it was basically the accessibility, the dance factor. It was music meant to be listened to and to be danced to.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, they seem to have kept the moodiness, the introspection of Joy Division.
But that lyrical introspection kind of simplified.
Yeah.
Right.
Simplified, made more accessible. It was, for me, it was perfect growing up music.
Yeah.
Perfect growing up music, along with, say, bands like The Smiths or The Cure.
Mm-hmm.
Take note, like, 89, I think that was when Disintegration was coming out from The Cure. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so this...
So, it's that confluence between, like, the teenage years and this, you know... I'd hate to say it, but music that actually speaks to you.
Right.
Yeah, and you don't need to, you know, you don't need, really need to interrogate all of these things that we learn in theory and poetry. None of that stuff. It's like, okay, it's music.
Yeah, and you get it.
Yeah, and you, yeah.
And unlike, say, Joy Division, which demands a certain level of critical understanding, New Order, you hear it and you know what to do with it.
Yeah, you know what to do with it. You dance to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You dance to it. You sway your head to it. Yeah.
You sing along. Joy Division was that. It was more punk.
Yeah.
Right? And the thing with New Order is, if you don't know that they're a rock band, you can file them under, say, synth pop.
Yeah.
Because of how dominant the synth sound was for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
So, after Temptation, what was your big song?
After Temptation, La Vigilantes was good.
Okay.
Yeah. That only had 3 chords.
Well, we're gonna go back to that. We got 2-3 chords at once.
Yeah, 2-3 really? Chords. Temptation had like 3 chords too, like with the minors, but basically what, C and F?
Yeah.
And you could play like xylophones to it.
And then Regret had what?
Yeah.
3-4 maybe?
Yeah, but among the three that we were talking about, that's the most complex.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
That, yeah.
It has the most complex arrangement because it has the most starts and stops.
Yep, yeah.
And we notice our own level of musicianship because these are the songs that we cover, the ones that only have 2 or 3 chords because I kind of forget my notes.
Yep, songs to play and sing to. That's it. Like Echoing the Bunny.
Yeah. And then you change the tempo a little bit and you can be playing a totally different New Order song.
Yeah, and then you can get lost.
But then that betrays their great grasp of melody.
Yeah.
Right, and how those bass melodies really come in. So we were saying after Temptation, it was Love Vigilantes.
And then Regret.
Right.
Yeah.
For Love Vigilantes, what was it there? And I think among their their songs, this is their most like story-like.
Yeah, it had a narrative to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It had a propulsiveness to it as well. Okay, so it seemed the melodies and the story seemed to drive the song forward. Yeah, and it was very catchy with the melodica at the start. It was like, okay, here we go.
The chorus, I want to be with my family.
Yeah,
my wife and child. Again,
it's very
really
tragic.
Simple.
Yeah,
really simple couplets.
Yep, very simple, very plaintive. Mm-hmm. There's something about the New Order. So if you were to reduce the affect, it's something plaintive, something very melancholy. Okay, but not cloying. That's the thing. It's really not cloying at all. I don't know. Yeah.
Is that I'm wondering if it's indicative of a certain vulnerability.
Yeah.
And certain, then that vulnerability being overcompensated for by these really raucous, danceable
the guitars,
songs.
Yeah, the guitars seem to like clatter all around the song, you know. And then the drum patterns seem to like splatter all over everywhere. But then here you have this emotional core of the song. I want to see my family and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and the I think it's also these repetitions. I know that there are certain songs where you just want them to end.
Yeah.
Like at a certain point, this is fine and we're done. Mm-hmm. But the thing with the New Order song is you can have that 10-minute Blue Monday remix, right?
Yeah.
You can have that bizarre love triangle that has like a 3-minute intro.
Yeah.
And then you just keep looping the chorus.
Yeah.
Because those choruses, the lyrical choice and the vocal melody bear repeating.
Right.
And they don't ever get old.
Yeah. It's the same thing I feel about Leave Me Alone.
Okay.
Which is like what? Two chords as well, or two or three chords. And this time it's like, you know, the drum sound seem like out of time. We're reduced to like to playing it and singing
because we can't afford to play the clips on this podcast.
We can link it.
I will definitely if you're interested, I'll post copies of the videos onto the complimentary blog.
Right. And then again, like, you have that, you know, really plaintive, melancholy, almost heartfelt, vulnerable kind of lyrics. But then it's coupled with this very, very sophisticated melody line.
Is it safe to say that their lyrics are terribly unironic?
Yeah.
Like, there's no sense of you need to do further analysis.
It is what it is, I guess. Yeah.
You know, when he says "leave me alone," he's saying "leave me alone."
Yeah. And it's very Mancunian, really. Yep. Very Northwest.
Go explain this, because that's where you studied for.
I think it's the constant rainfall in the gray skies. So I mean, when I was doing when I was doing graduate studies, they asked me, like, you know, coming like half the world away from. You know, from the Philippines, they asked why Manchester, and the only reason I could say was like, you know, this place produced the Smiths, Joy Division, and New Order, so it can produce my poetry too.
Also, Oasis.
Oasis and the Stone Roses. Okay, yes, that too.
No, I just want to throw it in there because you know, not terribly
unironic,
intelligent lyrics, very unironic.
Unironic, but they sound happier.
They sound
and more drug addled.
Yeah, that's the great kind of thing with New Order, is that you have that very melancholy, very sad lyrics.
Yeah.
But then you get partying music.
Yep. Yeah, maybe that's where the discrepancy lies.
And so you can be depressed and listen to them, or you
they
can
make
be
sad music you can dance to.
Or you can be happy and right? I mean, honestly, I don't really understand Bizarre Love Triangle. Mm-hmm. I know that I've played it many times and I've covered it.
Yeah.
I don't understand what they're saying there, because it's not terribly clear apart from that title.
I don't know. I don't
I
really,
every time I think of you,
I feel a shot right through
with a bolt of blue.
Yeah, well. It's very catchy.
It's
in terms
the problem of mine.
And it's a problem I find. Living a life that I can't leave behind.
There's no sense in telling me.
Are we gonna recite the whole thing?
Yeah, I know, man. No, but right when you get there, say, what's he saying?
Yeah, what's he saying? Yeah.
I don't know, but when you sing it, when
it
you
makes
hear
sense.
It,
yeah.
And that that melody is so gripping.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then you have kind of this propulsive, powerful beat underneath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have that guitar, and then you have this incredibly plaintive sounding.
Yeah.
Melody above it,
and the synthesizer.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's melodic and at the same time percussive. Yeah. So it's sort of like hovering above the, you know, the rumbling bass sounds and stuff like that. Yeah.
So we've got, as far as song recommendations go, we've got Temptation,
yeah.
We've got Love Vigilantes, we've got Bizarre Love Triangle.
Regret.
And on my end, we've got Regret. Let's do one more and then we can wrap up.
All right.
What's your like next favorite thing here?
What's my next favorite thing? Hmm. Oh, we had Leave Me Alone, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you want to talk more about that? Just very briefly.
I like how slow it is. Okay. It's really moderately paced. Okay, yeah. So it's slow and at the same time it's rather catchy.
Yeah.
And then not only is it slow, not only is it catchy, it is what it is. It's just like Leave Me Alone. Right?
From my listening, just say today on the way here.
Yeah.
It felt very much in between Joy Division and New Order.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's got that mid tempo going and then it's driven by the guitar line more so than the bass line.
Yeah.
And so it felt like that, but it still felt more pop.
Yeah. Felt more pop. And what I also liked about it was, would be the drums.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now that's another song whose drums sound angular.
Yes.
Yeah. Not necessarily clattery, but you know, it's
very sharp.
Parang syncopado.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very sharp. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there, that's what I like too. And then, you know, like it's consistent with the other moods of the other songs. Yeah.
On was it Substance?
I'm not sure if it was in Substance. Maybe it was in Power, Corruption and Lies. I don't remember now.
Okay, it might be Power, Corruption and Lies.
Yeah. It's a less, you know, it's not too well known, I'm afraid.
Yeah. No, but these are those gems because I mean I've listened to say a good number of the best of collections and even the double disc best ofs, and like with their contemporary stuff I like Waiting for the Siren's Call.
Right. Lost Sirens, that was good too.
If only because it has that pulsive bass again, but it mixes in that 90s sound.
Right, yeah.
But then when you go to these deeper cuts, even the deep cuts are good.
Yeah.
And I feel like you could listen to a whole album and not sense the transition from one song to the next sometimes.
Yeah.
But each song, when you take them on the road, is so distinctly powerful.
Yeah. I was about to say, like, going back to like Leave Me Alone.
Sure.
It reminds me a lot of the slowness of In a Lonely Place, Procession, those early transition years from between, you know, from Joy Division to early New Order. It has that like heavy, like, you know, lumbering kind of mood, but then they put in the angular drums and it sounds so different.
It incorporates the emotional depth that the earlier stuff was going for, but that pop sensibility that they finally latched onto, which actually made them even more popular.
All right.
So that's thanks for coming on the show, Vince.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
And I know that we'll probably have you on again sometime soon talking about whatever we want to. But thanks everybody for listening. Yeah, I will post links on the complimentary blog so you can check out some of these songs. And till next time, this is Carl Javier for the Lumpen Kulturati podcast.